Hello, everyone. I hope that everyone is okay. I'm still continuing to work through 2 Corinthians. It's been my written blog, and also I've done some audio blogs, and we have got to that most incredible verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Amazing verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Incredible. Let me start, if I may, with a moan or a complaint. I am getting really cheesed off with the loss of biblical language and the use of modern world-based descriptions. I recently read that the once acknowledged magnificent gift of administration in churches is now given a new title, operations manager. I get really confused now when people are talking about church names and things that go on in church, when they describe it in terms of a series of letters and numbers. We seem to be pressured by management styles and methods which seem to dominate our Christian reading. I don't know. What do we do with things like hymns, like Amazing Grace? Do we now think that we get rid of them and rewrite them because they use terminology like wretch and lost? What do we do with the old-fashioned term of being born again or new birth? Are they lost now to, I found God, I was overwhelmed with cans of Coca-Cola of love? Is it time to go back to biblical definitions and descriptions? I think so. Although Paul does not use the terminology in this verse of being born again, he does draw from the words used by Nicodemus in John 3, where he used the term born again. He uses similar language to Peter in 1 Peter and John in 1 John 2, when he speaks of a new creation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, some say that Paul's language here of a new creation is also an understanding of the new heaven and the new earth that is described in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. Now, if so, his point would be that our experience of the new birth of salvation is a personal prelude to the corporate and cosmic dimensions of the new creation that will come when Christ does. If you put this simply, the glory of the age to come is impinged upon us or broken into the present. Therefore, our new birth, our salvation, our being born again is incredibly spectacular and dramatic. That being said, we can't escape the individual and personal focus that Paul puts on it in his text. His emphasis is on anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. Earlier in 2 Corinthians 4, 6, Paul portrayed salvation as a creative act of God comparing the original creation of light out of darkness to our salvation. There again, you see this wonderful comparison that what has happened to us is similar to what God did when he created the world. And then he returns to the theme with added emphasis on the transformed nature and the newness of the person who is the object of this magnificent miracle of saving grace. This new creation, this new birth, this regeneration, this being born again, doesn't mean simply that I've just changed my ways a bit. I've got rid of the bad habit of smoking. I'm now embracing a new list of do's and don'ts. No, these things that Paul refers to are radical, persuasive, spiritual recreation in our inner being. God has done a deep, deep work in us. No wonder Paul calls for our undivided attention to this glorious truth by declaring this word, behold. He wants us to look at our salvation and say, be stunned. Be very stunned that you are an utterly new creation, the spiritual product of the gracious and life-giving power of God is a breathtaking reality. Behold, stop, consider, think about this remarkable truth. Don't pass it by with a casual glance or a raise of your shoulders. Give it time and the focus that it is due. You are a miracle. A living, breathing miracle. Behold. Keep on beholding. I have a theory that many Christians struggle and languish because they fail to grasp the far-reaching and radical implications of being a new creation. Could it be that some live unnecessarily enslaved lives to the old things because of the truth of this verse has never been given the weight that it should bear? Maybe you think, well, that's a bit harsh, Nigel. Unnecessarily enslaved. But before you react, think on it for a little while. It says that God has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We don't need to live in bondage to the old things. Doesn't matter whether it's a stubborn habit or a deceptive value or a destructive relationship or a distorted belief. The God who was kind enough and strong enough to create you as a brand new person is equally committed to supplying you with the resources and energy to live consistently with what you are. You are now in Christ. You are a new creation. Can you imagine God creating you as a new creation and then not giving you the ability to live in that new creation? It's not sort of game here. He doesn't do that. So what are the old things that can hold you back and keep you down? For some, it's the battle with false beliefs about your personal identity. Maybe you fail to realize that you are actually a child of God. That you are not a child of Satan. You're adopted into God's family. You are destined to reign with Christ, to be co-heirs in the kingdom of heaven. Perhaps you fail to realize that you are righteous in God's sight, fully forgiven for all your sins, the promise of the sealed Holy Spirit given for you. The old things that Paul tells us about have passed away. Meaning this, they have no claim on your life whatsoever. New things have come. You're part of a new covenant, a new humanity. You're destined to be a part of a new city in a new heaven and a new earth. God has given you a new name, Revelation 2, verse 17. You have a new power to live through the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you to resist the temptation to reduce the impact of being born again? Don't make it a religious experience or the help that you occasionally might need when it's tough in life or the occasional way that you ask God for things and because you're in a little bit of need. Behold, if you are truly in Christ, you are a new creation. You are an object of wonder. There's no escaping the fact that Paul has in view a complete and persuasive restructuring of your life, your values, your agenda for the future, as well as your identity as a redeemed image bearer of God. The conditions, the relationships, the worldly perspective, the principles that once dominated your life are now those old things, and they have passed away. All thinking and willing and feeling and judging are now governed by a new underlying, undying power. Let them rule you. It is for your good. Don't embrace the lies of the devil that tell you often and deliberately that your life will never change, that your sinful circumstances will always dominate your existence. The enemy would have you believe that rubbish, that spiritual growth is a dream and the future is dark and it's endless and it's a repetition of past failures. To that, Paul would say to you in no uncertain terms, and so would I, behold, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. No, I'm not telling you to adopt the power of positive thinking approach to life. It's not about merely willing yourself to believe the best that all life will have for you, and that will automatically change things. Please don't mistake my exhortation for sort of the gushing, semi-religious, feel-good nonsense that certain preachers use each week to create a feel-good factor. I hope you know me well enough to not do that. I am speaking about grace-filled, blood-bought power of a new life in Christ that enables you to embrace with joy the forgiveness of your sins, to welcome in with cross-centered confidence the trials and sufferings that will inevitably come your way. I've had emails recently, just in the past weeks, actually, from ministries who are trying to get me and therefore the church to respond to their prophetic words, to send them money so that they can offer you help. Offer you help to get out of maybe the rut of your past and your present. I will not respond to them. I don't believe them. There is only one voice and one glorious truth worthy of our faith. Behold, take note of this one, this one marvelous truth. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old, by the mercy of Christ, has passed away. The new, because of the cross of Christ, has come. And it is absolutely free. God bless you all.